You know that feeling when you're wading through just tons of information, trying to find what actually matters.
Oh, yeah. Emails, reports. It's overwhelming.
Especially in, say, legal disputes. It feels like all that extra stuff just slows everything down, causes confusion.
It really can. And, you know, in arbitration, which is meant to be quicker, more efficient than court.
Right.
Those final stages after the hearing can sometimes, well, lose that edge.
Okay, so that's exactly what we're digging into today. Something called the Issues and Relief Statement, or IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just quickly, arbitration is basically resolving disputes outside of court. The big ideas are efficiency, being flexible, getting a fair result.
Exactly. Those are the key drivers, why people choose it.
So our mission today is to really get a handle on this IRS thing. What is it? How does it work? And why is it being seen as maybe a better way to wrap up these arbitration cases?
And we're drawing our insights straight from the IRS blog itself, so we're getting the perspective right from the source, you could say.
Good. So where do they start? What's the problem the IRS is trying to solve?
Well, the blog points out this potential snag, right? Even though arbitration aims to be lean the bit after the main hearing, that part can get surprisingly heavy and expensive.
Okay, hang on. If arbitration's meant to be faster, what typically gums up the works after the evidence is in?
The blog flags a few usual suspects. One big one is just incredibly long post-hearing briefs. We're talking potentially hundreds of pages.
Wow. Yeah.
Another issue is sometimes parties aren't super clear on exactly what they want, you know, the specific relief they're asking the arbitrator for. It can be a bit vague.
Right.
And finally, these submissions, they can sometimes turn into another round of arguing, basically trying to persuade the arbitrator all over again instead of just summarizing.
Ah, I see. So instead of just giving the arbitrator the essentials needed for the decision, it's like round two of the advocacy.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I could definitely see how that would add time, cost.
Fair.
And maybe even muddy the waters for the arbitrator who's trying to pinpoint the key decisions.
Exactly right. And that's really where the Issues and Relief Statement comes in. It's pitched as a direct fix for that lack of focus.
Okay. So how does it do that, practically speaking? What's the IRS approach?
The main idea is simple. Give the arbitrator the absolute must-have info for the final award, but do it directly. No fluff, no long narratives trying to re-persuade.
So less storytelling, more bullet points.
Kind of, yeah. It's a shift. Away from arguing the case again, towards just clearly stating, here are the issues and here's what we want for each one. Precision over persuasion.
That makes a lot of sense. Distilling, not detailing. So what does an IRS look like compared to those traditional briefs? What are the core pieces?
Well, the big difference, like the blog stresses, is that focus on precision. Traditional briefs, they often tell the whole story again. Lots of legal argument.
Right.
The IRS. It sticks to a really structured format. Three main things.
Okay, let's break those down. What are the three key elements in an IRS?
Okay, first, you have to clearly list out every single specific issue the arbitrator needs to decide on. No ambiguity.
Issue number one, issue number two, etc. Got it.
Second, for every one of those issues, the party submitting has to state flat out, did they win on this point? Yes or no? Simple binary choice.
Okay, straightforward, yes, no. And the third thing.
Third, you have to state exactly what relief you're asking for related to that specific issue.
And relief means?
Basically, what you want the outcome to be. Could be money, could be forcing the other side to do something, could be just a declaration about rights. Very specific.
Okay, so for each issue, did we win? Yes, no. If yes, what do we want? Specific relief. The blog gave an example format, didn't it? Let's maybe walk through that.
Yeah, the example really helps make it concrete. It usually starts simple. Case name, who's submitting it, claimant or respondant, the date, standard stuff. Okay. Then you get to the heart of it, which is often like a table.
A table. Okay. Column one is issue, just stating the point of dispute.
Exactly. Then column two. Did the party prevail? Yes, no. That's the yes, no bit we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And column three, relief sought. What exactly are you asking for on this issue?
Okay, and the examples they used were like...
Right, so one issue might be breach of contract. If you think you proved it, you put yes for prevail.
And the relief?
Might be damages of $500,000 plus interest. Very specific amount.
Okay, another example.
Late payment interest. If you think you're owed that, it's yes again for prevail.
And the relief sign.
Could be 10% contractual interest on the outstanding amount. Again, specific.
And they had one more. Attorney's fees.
Yeah. And maybe on that one, the party doesn't think they should get their fees back under the contract or rules.
So they put
they'd put no under prevail for that issue, and then under relief sought, maybe just NA or none. Ah, okay. I can immediately see how that gives the arbitrator a super clear snapshot. It's like you said, a checklist and a roadmap all in one. Issue, position, request. Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly. Very little wiggle room for confusion there. Yeah. Cuts right through the potential fog you get with long narrative briefs.
Right. So, okay, clarity for the arbitrator is a huge plus. What other benefits does the blog highlight for using this IRS approach?
Well, the first big one they push is efficiency, just pure time saving.
How so?
By swapping out potentially massive briefs for this tight summary, arbitrators just spend less time reading background and argument. They can focus faster on drafting the actual award, hitting the key points.
Makes sense. Less reading, faster writing. What's benefit number two?
Costs. Mm-hmm. Reducing costs. Think about it. Lawyer's bill for the time spent writing those huge briefs.
Ah, yeah. Billable hours.
Exactly. Yeah. If they're drafting a concise IRS instead, that should mean fewer hours billed, saving the parties money on legal fees.
That's a very tangible benefit parties would definitely care about. Okay, what else? Third benefit. It lowers the risk of the arbitrator missing something.
How?
Because you have to list every contested issue and say yes or no on prevailing. It's like a checklist for the arbitrator, too. Did I rule on issue A? Yes. Issue B? Yes. It makes it harder to accidentally overlook something.
I see. So it reduces the chances of someone coming back later saying, hey, you forgot to rule on this specific point.
Precisely. Fewer post-award challenges based on omissions, which avoids more delay and cost.
Good point.
Yeah.
And there was a fourth benefit related to speed.
Yeah, just speeding up the final award itself. Because the information is structured, standardized, concise, the arbitrator can just move more quickly from reviewing the IRS submissions to actually writing the final decision.
Gets everyone to the finish line faster.
Which, again, is often a major reason people chose arbitration to begin with.
Okay, this IRS sounds pretty compelling then.
Mm-hmm.
But how do arbitrators actually put it into practice effectively? What does the blog suggest?
I think it's some good practical tips. Number one is put it in your procedural orders right from the start.
Make it standard procedure, not an afterthought.
Exactly. Set the expectation early. Don't just suggest it after the hearing as an alternative to briefs. Make it the default way to submit post-hearing positions.
Good idea.
But also, consider putting page limits on the IRS. You know, keep it short. The blog mentions typically a few pages. That reinforces the goal of brevity.
Right. Don't let it balloon into another brief.
And provide a standard template, like the example we discussed. That makes it consistent, easy to compare the two sides' submissions.
Standardization helps everyone. And one last point about communication.
Yes, super important. The arbitrator needs to be crystal clear with the parties about the purpose of the IRS.
Meaning,
spell it out. This is a summary of issues and relief. This is not another chance to argue your whole case. Setting that boundary is key to making it work.
Got it. Prevent it from becoming, you know, a mini brief in disguise. So, stepping back, looking at the big picture. This issues and relief statement, it really sounds like more than just fiddling with procedure. It's positioned as a real move towards smarter arbitration.
That's definitely the framing in the blog, yes. A simple tool, but potentially transformative for clarity and cost saving. It gives arbitrators a solid, efficient way to build sound awards.
And for the parties, the payoff seems clear too. Sharpens their focus, cuts down on those potentially hefty post-hearing legal costs.
Right. You know, as arbitration keeps evolving, looking for ways to be faster and cheaper, tools like the IRS seem like a really practical step.
Focusing on the core facts, the core requests, it seems like everyone wins.
That's the argument. More focus, less fluff, benefits everyone involved.
Okay, so wrapping up the main point, the issues and relief statement looks like a really promising way to make the end stage of arbitration clearer, faster, and probably cheaper by zeroing in on the essential issues and the specific remedies sought.
That nails it. Clarity, conciseness, efficiency. That's the goal.
Now, here's something to think about as we finish. Take these ideas, clarity, distilling complex stuff down to essentials, defining clear outcomes. Where else could you apply that? Maybe think about managing a project at work. Could defining the key deliverables and who's responsible up front really clearly prevent issues later?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even, you know, strategic planning. Clearly stating the objectives and the specific results you need to see. It's this principle of cutting through complexity to find the core elements for decision making. Definitely food for thought.